RadioInfluence.com.
This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
Sitting here at the Senior Bowl as we get ready for what is maybe 44th straight year at the Senior Bowl, 1974, whatever that comes out to. It is amazing having dinner with a couple of general managers and the head coach last night, good friends of mine, that the topic was officiating. That is going to be a big topic today as we recap conference championship weekend, exciting games in the NFL this past weekend in the NFL, but one that left something to be desired in terms of how it made the league look in the process and the difficulties that I think are ahead for the league in trying from a credibility standpoint to deal with it. It is a Tuesday, January 22nd, as I mentioned. It is Senior Bowl time. It is a time where we get together and evaluate top players that are invited that are seniors or graduating underclassmen. There are a few of those. Not all the top ones, but many of the top ones. We will have many first, second-round guys, third-round guys that will come out of this game. So a lot of work to be done. It's good to see the players up in person. And obviously, as we get practices going, we get to see a lot of individual works. More on the Senior Bowl in a little bit. But let's get right into the topic that is on everybody's mind. And that was the conference championship weekend, and in specific, the Saints-Rams game. Now, I have a complete write-up on these games, as well as some views that are a little bit more in-depth that you can check on LandryFootball.com. And a reminder, we still have our postseason saving special. You can check it out, so make sure that you take advantage of that. As we get through the game, and we'll talk about the game in a second, but I want to talk a little bit about the processes and replay going forward and the issues that go along with it. It is always a very emotional time after a game when people react. Obviously, fans and people involved that's on the wrong side of a decision, you're going to get people to react in a very vociferous way. And that's definitely the case in New Orleans. I was at the game. It was a loud atmosphere. And one in which, I think had a tremendous impact in the game. But as it related to the ending of the game, I can't tell you another play in my life in football that was more egregiously missed. I mean, more obvious than this one. The second on the list would be 1975, December 28th, 1975, to be more specific. The NFC champion, the NFC division playoff game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings, in which Roger Staubach threw what, at that point, there was no such thing as a Hail Mary pass. But the Hail Mary pass, which Hail Mary was named for, the Hail Mary play, of course, was named for, was the Roger Staubach to Drew Pearson. And it was an obvious offensive pass interference on Nate Wright. It wasn't called. In Minnesota, Bloomington, Minnesota, old Metropolitan Stadium, and the Cowboys ended up advancing. And this was obviously near the end of the game. There was one, two other plays. But that was it. That ended the game. And that was very egregious. Another one that I say was, that was obvious, but not as obvious as this one. There was another play that wasn't as obvious, but I'm going to bring it up because I'm going to tie it into where I think we're headed. 1979 in Pittsburgh, the AFC Championship game between the Steelers and the Oilers. Mike Renfro catches a ball in the end zone, gets both feet in, but in real life time, you can't quite tell if he does or he doesn't. There was replay, obviously, on TV, and you could see the replay, and they showed it, and he was clearly in. But there was no replay system in the NFL. That was the seed to which replay was born in the NFL in terms of a policy to overrule plays and to get things corrected. It didn't happen right away. It took some, you know, I can tell you at that time, it was a lot of, you know, tugging and pulling and what about this and what about that. But it eventually came in. And why do I bring that out is this is clearly the most egregious and obvious. There was no one, there's no one that would suggest ever that that was anything other than pass interference. Now, when the play, and of course, by now, you know, Nickell Robey has interfered while the ball was in the air. There was also helmet to helmet. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, watching it live and then watching it on the first, you know, replay, I didn't notice the helmet to helmet to the second or third time just because the interference was so obvious and so clear that it was just not the first thing that came to my mind. But it was very unusual that the league, normally what happens, the league informs you the day after that they missed the call. They, in a phone call, informed Sean Payton it was a missed call. Not that there was any doubt. No one, not including the Rams, Nickell himself, admitted that he interfered. The issue, I think, that has to be addressed here is, okay, why did he miss it? What did you miss? Did you take your eye? Did you take your eye off of it? Did you not do your job and you look seemingly another direction? Did you see it and were afraid to call it? Were you looking for somebody else to do it? And then you've got two people. What, you know, because they're three officials with the train. I've looked at it on tape. Three officials with their eyes at least looking in that direction. So there needs to be some hard investigation as to why they didn't call it. Now, let me say this. As a player, as a coach, I've got a lot of experience. I've got a little experience as an official. Certainly didn't officiate up to this level, but I have a healthy appreciation for the difficulty of officiating. I don't think people understand how difficult it is to officiate in today's game, where the players are bigger, stronger, faster. They're moving like a flash. I could see a lot of things being missed, particularly if they're bang-bang plays or flashes. You're going to miss it. The issue is, with modern technology, we must get these plays correct. The ambiguous ones, you have to live with that, okay, it could go either way. The obvious ones are the ones that bring in some question to the credibility of the league. Something we just simply cannot have. This was egregious, clear. People who really don't even understand the rules understand that was just a complete miss. The inability of a system to correct that mistake, as egregious as it may be, as unbelievable as it may be that somebody would miss that, they did. There needs to be some oversight to correct that, much like we have oversight in business, in government. You have to have it. It just puts a complete, you know, black cloud over the whole situation. We had two conference championship games that went to overtime in what was a day to celebrate the NFL. And the story has been and continues to be in the league. Now, I know, folks, you are more qualified than I to talk about the fact that I'm sure that it's being talked about all across sports talk radio and the news and whatnot, because you watch more of that than I do. I know that it has been because I have tried to do my best to appear on as many shows to address the issue, and many that I've not been able to appear upon. So I know that the desire to talk about it and the fact that it's getting talked about publicly is a big issue. It is being talked about. It is the number one thing being talked about at the Senior Bowl by people that are not involved, and it is a problem. That could happen to us. That's the way people look at it. And let me say this. This is for a fan viewpoint. I always want to try to understand and respect, but I also hope that you can also understand, too, where I'm coming from. I completely understand fans. Fans who are on the wrong end of a call like this are going to be, you know, the world's against us. It's a conspiracy. It's, you know, whatever. And then the fans of the opposing team, which, you know, maybe it's a Falcon fan or somebody like that, or somebody that had, you know, bet on the other side, whatever the case may be. Oh, whatever. They miss calls all the time and doesn't really matter. And you really are showing a bit of ignorance and not understanding that there's a difference between obvious and debatable. Well, there could have been a face mask call earlier, and okay, it could have been close. You know, that is different than an obvious one that puts the wrong team in the Super Bowl. And let me explain this. When you work your way into the league as a player, as a coach, as a scout, as I have, and you're fortunate enough to be a part, as I have, in three Super Bowls, you earn that. You earn that credit. You earn that respect. And I don't think people realize that not all of us that have worked in the league are rich people that made $30 million as a player or make, you know, millions and millions of dollars as a head coach. But there's a lot of us working stiffs that I know that with playoff bonuses through Super Bowl, I was able to pay off my house. I know people, coach, assistant coaches, scouts, personnel people, who are able to put their kids through college on a playoff bonus that results. So while it might be cute for some people out there, laughable, ha-ha, I didn't make it, that make it. When you put the wrong team in, or when you make an egregious mistake like that, then, you know, that's, to me, when it's this egregious, when it's this clear, and you don't do anything about it, this is like stealing. And I'm not exaggerating with that. I don't mean it that it was done on purpose. I don't mean it that it was done in any conspiratorial way. I mean it as it was a complete collapse of a process that now needs to be changed. I have said, and many of you have heard me talk about, that because of technology, you know, people have said, officiating's getting worse and worse. I got to tell you, officiating's not getting worse. Officiating is getting more exposed because of modern technology. We can see the flawed calls and the mistakes that are taking place, more so than we ever saw them before. That's what's taking place. That's what the issue is. Although I think there are ways we can improve it, and I'll get into that in a second. But what is happening now with technology? We can see things vividly from different angles. We could slow it down, stop it, compare angles. And we can do this with a lot of clarity to make determinations. And here's what I say. It's very simple. All of you listening have watched football games, many of them. Okay, and if you're honest in your objective looking at it, you see certain replays and you say, well, I don't know. Did it hit the ground? Didn't it? Did it touch him or didn't it? Did he get his feet in or didn't it? If you're looking at it four and five times, you can make the case that it wasn't that conclusive. And, you know, you can kind of live with the call either way, because even though you think it might be A, you could see how somebody could see it the other way. That is not the issue. The issue is when you have a clear and obvious situation, it's virtually malpractice. And with modern technology, we have to embrace a system where the game is moved more to the booth, an official's booth, a replay booth, and less on the field, because they have a better view of it. And for people that say, well, it's going to take the game too long, no, not if it's done correctly. The problem is we run replay incorrectly. We have an official, and this is all because they don't want to take the game out of the official's hand on the field. So the official runs over to the sideline, looks under a hood, talks, and then comes out. There's a lot of delay time of going back and forth and talking. It's very simple. You've got a crew in New York. You've got a crew in the booth. You got a crew on the field every game. As the game is taking place, there's an oversight group that if something is missed, something that is not called, can be called. Something that's called incorrectly can be reversed, and it can be simply pointed out. Press a button. The officials have the earpiece in the ear that can hear it. They have something that they can communicate with them, and it's as simple as that. While you go from getting the ball and spotting it for the next play, the review people have looked at it and clearly can communicate with you anything that they need to communicate with regard to the play or any infractions that were taking place. Certainly you can look at, people say, oh, well, what if you rule a play and you go back, you look at it, and you're looking at this, but you see holding. Look, I mean, I think there are different ways you can look at it. Clear and obvious needs to be corrected. And we need to quit hiding behind this BS about, well, we can't do that because this, it's going to happen kicking or screaming. And if you can't get it done, other people will get it done. There are other ways to do that. I know that this is how I believe it should be done, more into the booth, but let's just go with this. Let's look at this as an option. Bill Belichick has brought this out a few times. Don't add any more challenges. Just allow a coach to challenge anything. Certainly interference and other things like it need to be included. You can challenge that in college football. In the CFL, they have that now. Canadian League. This was clear. Look, the tuck rule is another one that came out as an egregious mistake, and Molly put the wrong, you know, in the eyes of Raider fans, put the wrong team in. But that was kind of, you looked at it and it's the rule, and you know, you had to look at it a few times. No one had to look at this play. No one had any questions. You know, you might have 90% of the people disagreed with the tuck rule and 10% did. 100% of the people understood that this was a missed call, yet there's no way to correct it. It's an embarrassment for the league, a multi-billion-dollar business. So you can allow a coach to have the ability to challenge it. If you want to modify it to where it's in the last quarter of the game, the last 2 minutes, I mean, you know, the bottom line is, you had a situation here where it was obvious the wrong decision was made, and it put, as a result, likely the wrong team in the Super Bowl. That's about as egregious as it can get. You know, in other cases, happens earlier in the game, it can have an effect, but you still have opportunities. This was a difficult situation. This creates an integrity issue for the league now. It's going to only become a bigger issue now that gambling is legal. And people will win or lose more money than ever before as a result of decisions like this. These things need to be addressed. They need to be addressed. And it's something that, from the standpoint of the commissioner, he has to take a more aggressive effort as he works for the owners. It's as simple as that. But they've got to take a strong, aggressive look at how this affects the look of the league, the integrity of the league. It is not the way you want to end your conference championship weekend. And God forbid we have something like this happen in a Super Bowl. It's even worse. I know we've had controversial calls in the Super Bowls. So I understand. I've seen them all. I've been there, I've done it. Nothing has been this more obvious, and it needs to be addressed. And it is a problem that, unfortunately, we don't address until we got an issue. Why do we have to wait until somebody has an accident at the four-way before we put a stop sign or a stoplight? I mean, why do we have to do that as a society? I mean, we see this a lot in college football with certain rules and regulations. I think that we need to be more forethinking, and we need to do right by the participants there. If you don't have integrity within the game, then you don't have anything. So I'm a big believer in a major reform on a lot of this. And I think as it relates to officials, a couple of things need to be pointed out too. When you have the crews that they pick for playoffs in the NFL, I don't think they do this correctly. They take an all-star crew of officials. So they take, based upon grades, the best referee, the best back judge, the best line judge, and they put them in like an all-star team instead of taking the highest graded crew and putting the top crews in the game. They work a little bit better together because they know each other a little more. And I can tell you that having talked with officials, few that I know, that they're more inclined to be able to talk to one of their own crew and say, look, we missed that. This happened. They're less inclined on a crew that they're not as familiar with to overturn it. I don't know. I try as best I can for the people that have asked me, how could they have missed this call? Here's my best guess. The guy whose call it was froze, was scared to make the call, afraid to kind of make a call that was going to have, they were letting them play, but then this became so clear and obvious they were just inclined to not call anything, letting it go, and they just got he just didn't do his job there, and I think he froze. And then I don't think he was overruled because I think that the two that could have looked at it and said, no, look, we missed that, I think they were a little bit concerned about stepping on the toes of that guy. They weren't as comfortable, didn't know him as well because they don't work with him. And I think, honestly, it's my best guess of how it happened that way. You know, people will say missed calls are part of the game. Yes, they are part of the game. And again, if it's a close, ambiguous call, could go either way, that's one thing. Look, people will say, well, it doesn't really matter. The Saints could have done this. And folks, you play football, you do the best that you can, and you're going to make mistakes as a coach and as a player. You play the game, and you let it go where it goes. Officials are the same thing. But when you make a clear and obvious error of what you've completely failed to do your job in an obvious way, there needs to be means to correct it, particularly when it's going to affect the outcome of the game. The Saints lost to the Vikings last year in a miracle play. That's the Saints' fault, and that's the Vikings, credit. They made a play. Saints didn't. The Chiefs are in the Super Bowl if Dee Ford doesn't line up in the neutral zone. He made a mistake. The official could have let that go. The official could have said that it didn't affect the outcome of that play. I'm going to let it go. The official did his job. It's unfortunate for Dee Ford. It's unfortunate for the Chiefs. But the call was made, and the players were allowed to win or lose the game. In this case, the officials failed. And so the Rams and the Saints weren't allowed to determine who was going to win that game. That's the problem. That's the issue. We've lost 3-4 officials last year, some of the better ones that have moved on, retired. We're going to lose 2 or 3 more this year. We've got an issue with training. I think that there is a huge problem when your 2 head of officials decide that they're going to go work on TV instead of being head of the officials union. That tells you right there, they're not paying enough money. They're not putting enough attention to this. The league needs to put money into it, into training officials better, paying them better, grooming them better, getting them more experience, even helping to train and groom college officials so that, and maybe consolidate some of the rules so that you have a better grooming system for that. I think there are a lot of things that could be done. I also believe that you should have a larger officiating pool. What do you do as a coach and as a team? What happens when the Vikings miss 2-3 field goals and early in the season? They cut their kicker. They bring another one in. He can't do the job, you're done. You have an official that's not getting it done. You got a back judge or a line judge that's just not doing a good job. He's done. He's benched. He's not going to, we're replacing him with someone else. You need to have a system where you put more emphasis on it. For as long as I have been around, and certainly before that, because I've been told that this was the case before my entering the league, that there's just not a commitment to putting money into the officiating operation. And you reap what you sow. You need to put, again, the top crews in the game. You need to develop them better. You need to have a bigger pool of guys. And you gotta put your money where your mouth is. You're going to spend all sorts of money for coaches and players, and you're going to have incompetent officiating? In what world does that make any sense? It's something that needs to be looked at. All right, let's get into the game itself, Saints and Rams. I thought the Saints came out with a lot of emotion from the crowd and defensively caused a lot of problems for the Rams. I thought a big key was the Rams defense getting off the field in the red zone twice against the Saints. Now, Dan Arnold, it would have been a tough catch, but had a potential touchdown. And then Drew Brees underthrew Michael Thomas. Saints could have been up 14-0, and it would have never gotten into a bad call situation late. A game likely would have been put away relatively early. Credit the Rams defense for making some plays when they needed to. And then you got to look at the Saints and say you couldn't get it done in the red zone there, and it hurt you. I thought the defense did a really nice job all game for the Saints for the most part. But they were on the field too much. I thought offensively, the Saints, when they're not able to run the football well enough, it became problematic. They did a better job against Michael Thomas, and there wasn't enough playmakers for them to really hurt this Rams defense. And I thought it hurt them in key situations. And I thought in the playoffs, Drew Brees wasn't quite as sharp as he has been. It's not the reason why they're not advancing. They should be in the Super Bowl. But he wasn't as sharp by his standards as he normally is. I thought working their way back in the game gave the Rams a lot of boost. I thought they upped the tempo a little bit, and they were able to adjust to the crowd noise a little bit better as the game went along, and they got more confidence. I say it all the time. You get a team on the run, you got to keep them on the run, and you got to keep your foot in their neck. And the Saints could not do it. I thought that was pivotal. I thought late in the game, Saints did some questionable things play calling wise. There's no doubt that in that last series, the aforementioned series that we talked about in regulation, that Saints could have done a better job with clock management. You essentially, with the throw in the dirt with Drew, you gave the Rams an extra timeout. So if you do the numbers, there's still a possibility the Rams would have gotten the ball back with a chance, but the likelihood that they would have been able to come all the way back and score with much less time, it's far less likely. So, listen, it's not like the Saints played a perfect game. You never do. They made mistakes, and they cost themselves, and you got to go back and figure that out. But, you know, when people say, well, that's why they lost it, well, yeah, you can always look at a number of things that cost it, but you know, that's part of it. You have to give credit for the team you're playing against, and you got to give credit to your team, and it goes both ways. But that's under the assumption that there's competent officiating and there's not an egregious error that's going to basically turn the game in a completely different fashion. That's the biggest issue there. So people who say, well, it shouldn't have come to that and all that, one has nothing to do with the other. Those are two completely environments. But certainly it was a tough loss for the Saints. And for them, you know, is it the last best chance for Drew Brees in this Saints group? Very well could be. Who knows? In the AFC Championship game, it's pretty clear, as we talked about in our previews on LandryFootball.com, that it was going to be about controlling the game at the line of scrimmage, running the football, keeping the Chiefs' offense off the field. Thought they did a really good job of it to the Patriots. I mean, the 8-minute drive to start, they controlled the football well. Brady had a red zone interception. Could have gone up 14-0. There was another interception late that would have ended the game and put the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Brady wasn't perfect, but it just goes to show you. A couple of mistakes, but coming back and leading his team to victory. All hail to Tom Brady, and rightly so. I thought the Chiefs were able to figure some things out offensively eventually and work their way back in. Defensively, they've got some issues. They were not able to hold at the point of attack well enough against the run, and that's part of the problem that I said I had concerns as we entered the playoffs. Would the Chiefs be able to run the football well enough? Yes, they could. Would they be able to defend the run well enough? No, they couldn't. They didn't. They've got some decisions to make. They've got to improve that defense, do the Chiefs. With that said, let me remind you again, it's a little thing. If you look at it, Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl if D Ford's just not lined up in the neutral zone. Something as simple as that. It's the little things. And when people ask me about the Patriots, Bill Belichick, and my background and experience with them, they say, what is it? What's the magic? There's no magic to it. There's no magic to it. There is an intense focus on details and discipline. And he wants smart players and disciplined players, because a smart, disciplined player is going to make decisions on and off the field, and they're more unlikely to make key mistakes in pivotal moments. They're not perfect. They made mistakes too. But they found a way to once again get it done. Tough, tough loss for the Chiefs. Tough, tough loss for the Saints. I thought it was a toss-up game either way. After breaking down the tape of both games again in detail twice and charting it, I think that the Chiefs and the Saints were the two best teams that I saw on the field on Sunday, but I thought the Patriots played a better game in terms of how they played it and style-wise, but I still think that the Chiefs made enough plays and would be in the game to the end. I thought the Saints outplayed the Rams for the most of the game and missed a couple of key opportunities, but I thought they were the better team, and I didn't think it was all that close. We're going to have plenty of time to get into the Patriots-Rams matchup. Seemed like just yesterday I was in New Orleans in the Dome with Bill Belichick as they're getting ready to play the greatest show on turf, Rams 2000. And there's this young quarterback getting going for the first time in Tom Brady. 18 years ago? Wow. How time has flown. Tom Brady is the only player that played in that game in the starting 44, offense and defense. It's still in that game. Adam Vinatieri is still playing, obviously, for the Colts. It was also in that game, won the game. Want to remind you, again, we've got a question we want to get to. Want to remind you, again, about our, we got at LandryFootball.com. We're excited as, this is a transition time of year. We've just got one game to break down for you left, but boy, does the work really begin. We've been spending a lot of time evaluating college prospects during the course of the year. Obviously evaluating NFL players during the year. So what we got coming up, really excited for you, is we will begin to break out position by position NFL player grades. So quarterbacks, running backs, we'll put them in how they grade it and what the grades mean. And here's why we do it this way. For those of you that are veterans of the website, you're aware of how we do this. Oh, we're going to provide you free agent lists. But you don't know who's going to be a free agent. Let me explain this again. People whose contracts are scheduled to be up at the end of this league year, they may be re-signed when the new league year starts. So they'll be taken off the free agent list. You will have guys that are under contract that teams will decide we're going to move on from them. We're going to let them go. So your free agent list is constantly changing. It's guys going on and guys going off. So what I like to do, is the way you do it within the league, is we're going to grade every player for you. We're going to have them graded so that if a player gets released from a team and you're kind of figuring out where it might be a fit or not be a fit for your team, you're going to be able to see how the guy graded out. So that's going to be a great advantage to you as you learn more about the league this offseason. So look for that. We're going to have, obviously, our draft boards. starting to come out in our scouting reports on those. We're going to do some things a little differently this year that I think you're going to really love. And, of course, our daily notebooks, where we follow what's happening around the league and all the movements and all the discussions going inside teams' facilities, as well as in the college scheme facilities as well. Recruiting's second wave of recruiting is going to be wrapping up, so we'll have that all for you. So a reminder that if you're not yet a member of LandryFootball.com, take advantage. Join today. Get our postseason discount. Get free agency, the draft, college recruiting, the remaining coaching moves, roster analysis, college NFL level. Don't forget to catch our Landry Football podcast every Tuesday and Thursday, Rush the Field podcast every Wednesday, and then you get the free War Room newsletter every week. All you got to do is sign up on LandryFootball.com, provide your email. We provide you some real good, interesting tidbits and keep you up to date on not only the world of football, but what's going on LandryFootball.com. So a lot of great stuff coming up. We've got the Senior Bowl this week that we're going to break down for you and provide you all the details and information, so you want to check that out as well. We'll give you an update of on LandryFootball.com of all the breakdowns, the scouting reports, but we'll keep you up to date here on Thursday as well. We're going to end with a question that we've got in. Remember, if you have any question you want addressed here, you can send it to me here at ContactChris on LandryFootball.com. Kevin asks if some questions about the Rams versus Saints game. The Rams fake punt, Justin Hardy, was he planned as coach or was it a lack of execution on his part? It was a lack of execution there. I think that, you know, how it was set up, he was in position, he just didn't execute it well. Second question, around 3.5 minutes left in the second quarter, Breeze was sacked on consecutive plays. The question I have in that situation, up 13-3 and the Rams get the ball to start the second half, isn't it the top priority to deny the Rams another possession other than could have had the opportunity to parlay some type of momentum? Why not run the ball at least on first down, bleed some clock, and go from there? Well, first of all, you don't just determine play call just on situation. You determine on front. They were playing a loaded front on that play, so it really invited them to throw the football. It is a valid point of being able to bleed the clock a little bit, but I do think that you, at that point in the game, you still want to play it as if you need to score more points if you get the right look. And if you do, you go for it. If you don't, then I think you're a little bit more conservative. But I think that just to say you run it out at that point, it's not the end of the game, it's end of the half. And you'd like to be able to protect it, but also try to put yourself in a potential position to maybe get another three if you could. Saints are looking for more points if they could get it. They didn't, and quite frankly, they didn't protect very well. They got eaten up on that play and most of the game, particularly on the interior. You also asked, in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes, what was your opinion of McVay deciding to kick a field goal on fourth and goal from the inches? I agree with it. It's the right call. You know, it's easy to say, be aggressive, go for it. You gotta get those points there. If you don't make it, game's over, almost over. I would have done the same thing. In overtime, did you have any issue with the Saints play call on second 16 that led to game-deciding interception? I'm only asking this because, if you stated in prior podcasts, the Saints have a great screen game. Seemed Breeze wasn't sharp with the deeper passes as the game wore on. Breeze wasn't sharp because the protection wasn't good. Problem was not the second 16, but the negative play on early downs that on the first down that caused it. You're second and 16 because you had a negative play. And I do think working towards at least getting a chance to get 6 or 8 yards back is what you want to do there. But they did a great job with penetration, did the Rams, and it caused a lot of problems. And so the deep set, the 5-7-step game wasn't there, and they did a good job in the screen game. So the biggest problem I had there was the negative play on first down. When you get in 7-16, I got news for you, there's not a really good play there. You'd like to get some yards back. You would hope they would have gotten that, but unfortunate for them, they were not able to do so. All right, appreciate you joining us today, folks. We'll be back on Thursday. Keep it at LandryFootball.com for all the latest news and notes, what's going on around the world of football. We'll be here to break it down for you on Thursday on another edition of the Landry Football Podcast LandryFootball.com.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence. This is an In the Trenches with Ian Beckles. Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
The long and short of it was, whoever got the ball last was going to win, okay? Because Brady got the ball with a minute and a half left, and I looked around at everybody, and I go, Tom Brady, minute and a half left, or I think it was 2 minutes, 2 minutes and 3 seconds. Tom Brady, 2 minutes left. He's going to go for it on fourth down. Does anybody think anybody can stop him in the world? And everybody's going, nope. And I go, well, then he's going to score, watch. And I just methodically went down the field and boom, 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 boom. I wouldn't say methodically. Three third and tens. And basically every time he completed these third and tens, all the plays looked very familiar, very similar. And that's because Belichick is going after weaknesses on defenses, and that's what he does. So the Patriots come out of there. You really got a feel for Mahomes because it wasn't on him. It wasn't on him. It really wasn't. There was a couple very questionable calls in that game as well. There was a roughing the passer call, which was really disgusting. Somebody came down with their hand on Tom Brady's shoulder, God forbid. So they called that. So there was a couple questionable type calls. But when it's all done, and you watch games like that and in that situation, the team that's supposed to win usually wins.
In the Trenches with Ian Beckles can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.